Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ganesh Housing Corporation Limited Q1 FY 2023 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajat Gupta from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Michelle. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Ganesh Housing Corporation Limited earnings call to discuss the Q1 FY 2023 results. We have on the call with us today Mr. Rajendra Shah, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Neeraj Kalavatia, Vice President, Finance, and Mr. Ravi, Corporate and Financial Advisor. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. We now request Mr. Rajendra Shah to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rajat. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you all for joining us on this call today to discuss our quarter one financial year 2022-23 results. We are happy to announce another quarter of robust performance amidst the ongoing macroeconomic challenges. Quarter one of financial year 2022-23 saw a cumulative 90 basis points of repo rate hike by RBI, which decreased the home purchase affordability. However, Ahmedabad market remains largely affordable with the positive change in sentiment towards homeownership, which kept the housing demand intact. On the operational front, we have registered a sale of INR 99 million. We have not launched any new projects this quarter, and the launched projects, last two launched projects have not yet been completed. As a result, we could not book any additional sales on these projects as per accounting standards. Hence, our sales have been slightly lower than quarter one of financial year 2021-22. As of June 2022, we have no inventory in ongoing projects. Also, ending June 2022, we have unsold completed inventory of 0.09 million sq ft, which we value at INR 450 million. In Malabar 3 project, we have received RERA approval and permission to commence construction in February 2021. During 16-odd months of actual construction, post these approvals, we have managed to complete 80% of the construction in this project across 6 towers. In Malabar Exotica project, we have received RERA approval and permission to commence construction in July-August 2021. During this 11-odd months period, we have been progressing ahead of schedule. In both these projects, Malabar 3 and Malabar Exotica, we have booked 100% units in both these projects. We are using precast technology of construction, which is cost-effective and helps us to achieve faster and better quality execution. We expect to complete this project ahead of schedule. I will now briefly touch upon our financial performance during the quarter and year gone by. Our revenue came in at INR 427 million for quarter one of financial year 2022-23 versus INR 793 million in same quarter last year. Our EBITDA grew at 20% year-on-year and came in at INR 251 million for quarter one of financial year 2022-23 versus INR 210 million in quarter one of financial year 2021-22. Led by operational efficiencies Our margins have improved significantly at 58.5% for quarter one of financial year 22-23 versus 26.5% for period ending quarter one of financial year 21-22. Our PAT for quarter one of financial year 22-23 came in at INR 131 million versus INR 54 million for period ending quarter one of financial year 21-22, registering a growth of 143% year on year. Our debt has reduced significantly from INR 3393 million ending financial year 2020-21 to INR 1060 million for the period ending quarter one financial year 21-22-23. As of this board meeting date, the debt has further reduced to a two digit number in terms of rupees crores, which is 71.8 crores or 718 million through prepayment. This is a significant achievement. Ongoing and upcoming projects in key location of Ahmedabad provides us with great comfort and visibility of cash flows, which keeps us on track to deleverage further. We have been diligently improving our and deleveraging our balance sheet in over past few years. We have reduced our long-term debt by 84% in last 3 years and a quarter. On the finance cost front, our cost of borrowing is stable at 13.8% as on quarter one of financial year 22-23. Coming to our future growth prospects and guidance, the sales of houses in Ahmedabad witnessed a strong recovery, registering a 95% growth in the first half of calendar year 2022. The sales volume in the residential real estate market has almost reached level seen in pre-COVID 2019. Ahmedabad has traditionally been a price-sensitive market, and developers have been mindful not to raise the prices despite of increase in input costs for items such as steel and cement compared to price increase across other metro cities. However, during the last quarter, the real estate developers have taken a conscious call to increase prices by 5 to 10%. As mentioned previously, we continue to have a strong and robust project pipeline of 4 residential and 2 commercial projects. These projects are being launched in a phased manner, with 2 projects being launched in over next 6 to 12 months. 3 projects being launched in next over 12 to 24 months, and 1 project being launched in next 24 to 36 months. We continue to target developing 8 million square feet of infrastructure and special projects like SEZ, township, etc. in next 4 years, with total sales value of rupees 30,000 million. At this stage, I would like to reiterate the fact that over the last 4 decades of our existence, we have never had to lower our expected sales or pre-launch prices. Hence, we are confident that this will continue to create growth and prosperity for our end customers. With this, I request proceedings to be handed over to Rajat.
Now, Michelle, you can open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Saurav Kilda from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted to check, like, we don't have any inventory in Malabar County 3, right?
Yeah,
everything is
booked. So, like, any reason why we are, you know, going slow on launching the Exotica 4? Like, you mentioned that the launch will happen in next 6 to 4, 12 months. So, is there any trigger that you are waiting for to launch the project, or any other strategic reason behind it?
See, on the existing project, both Malabar County 3 and Malabar Exotica, they are running on a fast-scale construction. That is one target area where we are pushing our construction to completion to prepone. Second is on the planning side of the two projects. There has been some planning changes in the ongoing projects, which is undergoing some changes, as well as some of the projects where the government intervention is needed. There already our team is in touch base with the government clearances, where it is taking some sort of time. So accordingly, Malaki, like, we have kept some buffer in terms of launching.
Okay, so can we expect that in this year itself?
Sorry?
Like, it will happen this, like, maybe second half of this year?
Yes, that is our target.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's all from my side. All the best for the year.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to press star and one on their touchtone phone to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Naman Bhansali from Perpetuity Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So I wanted to ask, the first question is the revenue. It has declined this quarter. But what would be the revenue guidance for this full year, and what are the projects from which sales will come, given that we almost have a very minimal inventory?
See, Naman, in terms of the revenue piece, like, you see, on a year-to-year basis, the revenue is looking on a lower side because there were a sizable inventory was there from the completed project during last year, which contributed to the sales. And correspondingly, their cost was also allocated at that point of time. But as compared to that year, now in the current year, this quarter, you see the revenue, on the revenue side might be the figure on compared to the lower, but on the EBITDA side and PAT side, we have improved our numbers as compared to the last year because of that reason only.
As far as the guidance is concerned, we normally don't try to give any forward-looking guidances, but I think the way things are going, not just those, the projects which we have launched last year would be completed this year itself. So we do expect sales to be booked as soon as they are completed and handed over. That will improve the revenue significantly, apart from the ongoing revenues which have been happening. So we do believe that the year-on-year targets which were there for the last year versus FY23 would be significantly higher. The way things are going on in Q1 and the way we see the Q2 and Q3 coming forth, and especially the last quarter when these two projects would have been completed and a lot of sales would have been booked on that. So we do believe that it can improve significantly in the current year.
Okay, understood. And the next question is on the units that were sold during the quarter. So how much have the price appreciated for these units, and as compared to what we were selling these in previous quarter? And I wanted to know that where have the costs being optimized that led to significant operating margins expansion, and how would this continue for next couple of quarters?
See, I'm coming to your question one by one. One is that you say in terms of the price increase that we have already, in our undergoing project, we have already increased the price to the extent of 10% to accommodate the market changes, because the market has also adapted this strategy to increase the price on this part. And secondly, in terms of the margin which you said about, we see traditionally our margins have been higher on a year-end basis, and largely this was mainly the reason was the lower cost towards the land acquisition, which has been traditionally in our books historically. And last 2 years was typically the odd years where there was a hangover of the inventory because of COVID and this LFS crisis. And because of that carry for this thing, this impacted our overall margin in the books. and that issue get addressed from the current year itself. So on now quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year basis, you will see again the margins being reinstated as like the earlier years also.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Amresh Kumar from Geosphere Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Just wanted to understand the debt trajectory of the company in the, you know, going forward, because your debt is down by 85-90% in the last few years, and now you are going to have a new launch cycle. So what do you think this time the debt trajectory will be, and how it will differ or how it will be similar to the last time?
A few things on that. I'll take this question. A few aspects on this. One is that their debt had been very high a couple of years back, and there has been a conscious call to bring it down quarter on quarter, year on year, and the company has achieved that extremely well in the last quarter, having come down to a mere 71, which is only 10% of the peak debt, less than 10% of the peak debt that they had ever. So the debt, yes, as the new projects would come in, and there are certain plans which for in the SEZ and all, wherein there could be a debt which can come in. But it doesn't appear that it will ever go to those levels. There is there's a conscious call to ensure that the debt, the equity levels are always below one. And the way the cash flows are coming in from the existing projects as well as the new planned ones, it doesn't appear that the debt will go up to those 794 levels ever again. So, yes, it may not be remaining at 61 and or 71 forever, but whenever there will be any debt which comes in, along with it will come the profitability of the new project. So it will be planned in such a manner that we'll have a very good debt equity ratios and debt EBITDA levels.
So right now the real estate cycle looks good, but you know, things can go bad. So what will you change in case things are not as smooth as they are now? So if you can elaborate what happened last time, so that we can understand that it will not happen again. Just a little bit of clarification and elaboration would help us.
See, largely what happened was that the debt accumulation happened because of two major projects which we launched early in 2015, where these two projects taken together was a 2 million square feet of construction. And somehow this project got impacted because of first is demonetization, then subsequent there was a RERA implementation came and GST also came into the picture in the 1 year, in between a 2 year period of time. So this 2 year period of time has actually created a negative segment for sentiment for the real estate market. But as per our philosophy, we always stick to our targeted completion date. So irrespective of even if there is a slower movement in the sales side during those periods, we have to borrow from the institution to complete our construction within that timeline itself. So because of the high cost of construction for those two projects, the debt got accumulated. But post this was first COVID wave, we are now very much free from that inventory also, and we are substantially now exiting from that project. So almost our debt level from that project is now zero. So I think that was a learning from us, and that period was also impacted by the government regulatory impact also. There are changes in the external environment which were beyond our control. But we achieved our mission of completing those two projects within our given timeline. The project did not get delayed.
Got it, sir.
I would like to add to that, just to give you the assurance or, you know, clear answers in terms of how the future might look at. The way the land costs have been in the books and the way it's going to be monetized in the future, it doesn't appear that we'll ever have those situations of, losses or having lower margins and all that. So the land is the major ones in any other project, right? So all the new projects which are going to be announced now, for which the land is already acquired and sitting in the books at a cost which is very, very low. And therefore, the profitability should be ensured in the coming days. And moreover, right now, all the work which is going on in terms of the costs, the way the cost structures are being built up, and the way the selling is happening, especially as you see, there is a Malabar 3 and 4, you already have seen that. And we do believe that this kind of sales, the way the projections are and the reports, market reports say, the visibility of these projects, the market of these housing projects and all that continue to be robust as far as Ahmedabad and the Gujarat cycles are concerned. So at least till the time we finish off these projects, which will definitely sell the way Malabar 3 and 4 have sold, it doesn't appear that we will ever have such kind of a situation in the near future for sure.
Got it, sir. Thank you for this. I just wanted to, you know, put my two pence observation here. When things start looking good in real estate cycle, then the land purchases come back and nobody minds them. But then it creates a problem for the forward. So, you know, every time this cycle repeats again and again, because you know what I'm saying. So this land purchases
currently what we are seeing is the cycle has got absolutely upward trend. And market is pretty bullish because we are hardly seeing any inventory of the completed project in the market. So the demand side is pretty higher as compared to the supply which is happening in the market. So far, basis the current trend, definitely it is looking good. Future is definitely unpredictable, which we cannot say when.
How much? So let me ask you a pointed question. How much will you spend in land purchases over the next few years?
See, this is an ongoing process. There is nothing like any amount is earmarked for how much land is to be acquired. This is land acquisition, land selling are all opportunity-based decisions. So as and when there is a good opportunity comes up, and largely we accumulate land in an area which remains outside the scope of development at particular period of time. So our holding period and accumulation period ranges from the 5 to 10 years.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. Okay.
Just to add to what Neeraj has said, last 3 years, 3.5 years history, if somebody says, we have hardly done any land acquisition. However, we are continuously assessing or looking at proposals of land acquisition. We are active in that area, but we are very selective as far as any new land purchases are concerned.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wants to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Ritu Panna from Growth Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to know about the strategy on commercial development, and are we looking to develop a portfolio of rental properties?
See, our targeted this 8 million of the portfolio which we will be building over next 5 years, there is a sizable portion which will be coming from the commercial side also. Largely this portion will be in the our SEZ portfolio, which will command a good rental piece also. And the bigger advantage with us in terms of SEZ is that this particular project will be in the heart of the city. So on a competitive side also, there will be nothing who can meet us in terms of competition.
Okay, got it. And how is the demand from IT sector? Are we seeing any inquiries which are related to them?
See, with the development in the GIFT City happening, there is a sizable number of companies are coming in the GIFT City, which are not largely from the financial sectors, and then their foreign exchange points are there, AFs are there, and exchanges are there, which are setting up their unit in GIFT City, which is creating a good boost for the other surrounding sectors. And IT, already the company has started coming. We are also exploring a lot of new alliances also, which can keep up our IT SEZ portfolio. So as the things are under discussion stage, we will be sharing those information at the appropriate time.
Yeah, my last question was about the kind of clientele we are expecting in the SEZ segment.
IT SEZ. See, largely it will be the IT and ITS players, but what kind of clientele, which kind of corporate will be coming, that will be difficult to say at this point of time. It will be too early to comment on those things.
I would still like to add, Rituparna, that is, that see, it is unknown, frankly, that there are many, many hundreds of IT companies in Ahmedabad. And Ahmedabad in Gujarat has not been known for IT as much, right? But little is known about so many very, very good companies already existing here, where they all want an infrastructure which can really be helpful to them. So we also believe that while the new companies and the large companies come over from outside, there will be a lot of consolidation happening of all these companies in the IT SEZ that we look at. So we do see a robust growth. Yes, names are a little difficult to say right at this point in time, but we do believe that all this will happen because with the kind of infrastructure that is being built up there by Ganesh Housing, it has to attract all the players who are otherwise there in small, small pockets at different places all over Ahmedabad.
Got it. Thank you so much for answering my question.
And just to add to what Ravi just said, the kind of infrastructure and kind of SEZ what we are going to build, it will be world-class environment what we will be able to provide. So any IT companies which you or which anybody kind of reckons with, they will not be hesitating in opening their offices in premises what we are going to offer to them. So it will be a solution which will be a world-class solution what we tend to provide.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Seema Bajaj from R Consultant. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking up my question. So I basically wanted to know your view on real estate industry as a whole. Like now the new challenges are coming up, like rising interest rates and many other challenges are there. So please, I just want to know your views like about for next 3 years, maybe 3 to 5 years on the real estate industry.
Seema, if you see the trend is now completely bullish. If you see the first post this first COVID wave, the demand is on the upside because significantly we are comparing now in Ahmedabad market. If I talk about the specific city specific, the launches and the sales have doubled from the pre-COVID era to the post-COVID era, and in terms of the absorption also is a sizable, things are increasing. Now, in terms of the price rise, all these things are happening. Like we see the construction costs and certain things are getting increased, but they are being absorbed in the by the market also. Just recently, if you could go through one of the top realty research firm which published their report, Ahmedabad market has been the most resilient market in terms of absorption of the price. And among the top 8 city in India, Ahmedabad commanded the highest price increase of around 14% on year-to-year basis on realty. So that itself talks about the absorption power of the market and the way the current trend is there. And the supporting infrastructure is giving a deep boost to the overall housing demand in Ahmedabad. Like we say, if we talk about the Ahmedabad city, it is not only the top SME market of India, but it is a major industrial and pharma hub. And major infrastructure development is happening, GIFT City development is happening, a big metro is coming in a big way across the city. And more so, two big sports enclave is also coming up in Ahmedabad. And Ahmedabad is, for which the Ahmedabad is going to bid for the future something. So that is kind of the plan which is happening in Ahmedabad. All these supporting developments will give a big boost to the demand side. And if you compare prices in Ahmedabad to any other equivalent city or metro city, you will find always Gujarat being a cheaper market compared to these cities. So that way, we don't see the demand cycle will get a U-turn. Even in the past also, the historical data also say that whenever there is any sluggish in any of these metro cities, the Gujarat market, especially Ahmedabad market, has remained stable in terms of the sales and price.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for such elaborate answer, sir. Also, as a follow-up, I would just want to know about the luxury market in Gujarat and Ahmedabad space. If you could give some light on that.
See, in terms of the luxury market, Ahmedabad is definitely is coming good way. Now, if we see, there is a good absorption power in the luxury segment in Gujarat. The one reason is definitely the which I talked about earlier, this being a major industrial and trade hub and the SME market and surrounding development whichever is happening, that is actually giving a good absorption power in the market. Second is that if you see the price wise, a luxury prices in Gujarat will be somewhere equivalent to mid affordable prices in a metro city like Bombay. So that way also the affordability is pretty better. And also the holding power of the developers in Gujarat is far better because they release the inventory in a phased manner rather than releasing the entire inventory in a one shot. So that also gives them a better margin.
And Shiva, that actually is a good question because it's so much is happening in that segment in Ahmedabad and very quietly that too. Every other day we see new luxury flats being announced. So now there's a concept of vertical bungalows, like, you know, people don't want to really go into those bungalows, but people are really ready to pay for 6-7 crores and beyond that also for apartments which would never have thought about it let's say 3 years back. So yes, you touched upon a very important aspect. It's not just those affordable housing in the normal months, but the luxury market also seems to be picking up very well in Ahmedabad. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Participants, I am Rajendra Shah on behalf of Ganesh Housing Corporation Limited. I thank you all for showing interest and participating in conference call. See you again in next quarter. Thank you so much.
On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.